I got a story to tell you. I was catching Red Lucas one day in Pittsburgh, and it was hot, and we were in contention. We were in first place at the time. Of course, we were all uptight all the time. Red Lucas was a pitcher, and he, when the game would start, he was uptight all the time too, and serious as heck, and he had this hair lip, and he was funny when he'd get mad and talk. Well, he's pitching this ball game, and he's nibbling like you were talking. Larry Gesser was behind the plate. He quick temper too, and the two of them jawing at each other all during the game, you know, but not serious enough to get thrown out. Finally, Lucas makes a good 3-2 pitch on his hitter, and Larry calls it a ball, and it walks him, and he represents the tying run. And here comes Lucas, and madder than hell, and that face, a big red face, looked like a tomato, big one. And he says, "Guess, USOB," he says, "you're blind as a sheep's ass. You can't see through the wool." Well, when he was in the shower, he's still mumbling and groaning, and I was taken out for a pinch hitter, and of course I went in, and I'm still laughing. Guess what's the matter now? Let me laugh. And you're laughing at me. I said, "You can't imagine how funny you two look, you know, the big Lucas with the big red face, and you was yakking back at him." I said, "You look like a catfish eating a big red tomato."
You wouldn't have said that to Clem.
No. Oh, no.
Were you a talkative catcher?
Yeah, I yelled a lot.
Try to distract the hitter?
I don't think you really distract them so much, because they're thinking too, just like you don't hear the crowds.
But some catchers would do it to try to distract them.
Or some guys, if it would be like Ted Williams used to get mad when somebody would whistle. So, you know, it bothered him. It broke his concentration again.
Yeah, I've been told that in the World Series, Yogi Berra would do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And Pee Wee Reese would just drive Reese crazy because he wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, it did bother some. A lot of guys it didn't. You know what they used to, like the infielders used to be hollering at one another.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bartel was as noisy as anybody.
I was with Billy Southworth then at Boston. And you could hear all the infielders whistling and chirping. And he says, "Hey, listen to all those bird turds." No, turd birds.
When were you with him?
In 48, they won the pennant. I was at Milwaukee as a player coach, and something happened to Macy, and they brought me in. I went into the Milwaukee system as a player coach, and I had a lot of young pitchers to work with, and a catcher No, I lost him. Don't let old age creep upon you. Oh, Del Crandall. Boy, was he coachable. And he picked things up that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, there was a question of who they needed the catcher at Boston. Who would pick, Crandall or this other guy? I can't think of his name. I said, "I would take Crandall because of his ability to catch. The one guy can catch strikes and throw you out. Crandall can catch those off pitches and throw you out."
Mm-hmm.
And I says, "Crandall's more determined. This other guy is a real good kid, but he's kind of, sing-songy like."
So you were a coach with Southworth in 47?
I was, I don't know if you'd call me a player coach or not. I never got into a game, and I spent most of my time with pitchers, and lots of times when Billy would have somebody that wanted a big bonus or something like that, I'd go out and maybe warm him up with Billy Watson and things like
uh-huh.
that. I remember one time in Pittsburgh, Billy says, "Hey, Ray," he says, "I've got a young pitcher we're going to work out." He says, "I want to steal him from Pie Trainer." Pye had offered him so much money, and so we went down and worked him out there. And he had a real good sinker that day. And where I was catching, the wind was against, it was, he was thrown into the wind. And he had a pretty good sinker, but I didn't think it was that great, you know, because I thought it was catching that downdraft, so to speak, mm-hmm. and helping it sink. So he said, "What do you think?" He said, "Geez, I liked him." I said, "Billy, I'm not so sure about that sinker." I said, "Let's keep him here, you know, for the 3 days that we're here." And he says, "Let him rest for tomorrow. Have his family was with him and entertain him, you know." And then we're getting a situation where the wind is the other way or no wind at all, and we'll see if that ball will act up, which it didn't. Mm-hmm. So Billy was going to give him about 90,000. He's going to, and when we mm-hmm. didn't. And so he said, "What do you think?" I said, "I think you'd let Pye have him." Of course, that kind of endeared me to Billy.
Who was the pitcher?
Oh, and just some young lad.
Oh.
Some young college lad, and I can't remember.
He didn't go on to do
No,
anything.
He didn't go into it at all.
How would you rate Southwards as a manager?
Good, very thorough, very observing, very demanding. I mean, in a way that he liked everything done theoretically correct. Mechanical things that you, mechanical errors didn't disturb him.
I've read about the trouble with the players in 49 after they won the pennant. He had a bunch of guys who'd been malcontents on other teams. And
well, you run into, yeah, and then if you aren't winning, you aren't doing well. Lots of times you can have a bench, shall I say. I'm talking about your extra men. They can be very unhappy because they're not playing. They've got a real good opinion of themselves. They're probably on their last legs and not thankful mm-hmm. that they're there. They still think that they're 10 years,
yeah.
you see. And those, and the same thing happens in bullpens. You've got, say you've got a 10-man pitching staff, and some of them don't get the pitch. Some maybe don't get in the game for weeks and weeks. Well, they become discontented. Now you try to drive them, keep them.